Well, Sunday night, he called us when he was still at work, and we said, okay, we'll wait for you to get off work. We just went down the block to Bertucci's. It wasn't a big deal. It was just grabbing some dinner, and he grabbed the check. Saturday night's dinner was a little bit different, though, but he wasn't with us then.
Oh, where'd you go Saturday night?
We met my wife's cousins from Brazil at Gotham Bar and Grill in Manhattan.
Nice. Nice. Very good. All right. So I'm sure you had a good time. And we went out Saturday night to dinner. We went to the Colombian restaurant on Division Avenue over here in Levittown. Had a very, very nice meal. Big picture of sangria. Excellent.
I think it was Friday. Elise and I were coming home from, where were we? BJ's. And with all the road work going on Hempstead Turnpike, we decided to take the other path home via Jerusalem, North Jerusalem. So we ended up going down your block, basically. And she said, are there two schools on this block that you have to worry about? I said, yep.
Oh, yeah. There's two schools, and then when you get down to Jerusalem, if you make a left, there's another two schools, and they've got North Jerusalem cameraed in both directions in front of the junior high. As a matter of fact, if you get off of the Southern State Parkway onto Wausau Avenue North, and then make the westbound turn onto North Jerusalem, the second you make that westbound turn onto North Jerusalem, you're in the school zone. You don't even have a chance to step on your brake and slow your vehicle down, and you're bagged. A lot of locals have been complaining about that, but it's legitimate because the sign is right there on the corner, and the camera is like, I think, 100 feet from the sign.
Bag 'em, Dano.
Brake check.
Video check.
So you saw the little cabbage man? How was he?
He was in his glory. That's his thing, man. That's his race. He had somebody up in the helicopter. I don't think it was his daughter this time. But we had people up in the helicopter. We had people all over. I was stationed on the 10K just before you hit the rise to go over Sunrise to head back to the finish line. So I was seeing everybody that was too pooped to pop. But it's a good day, beautiful day for a race. Everybody finished in short time too. It was race was over by 11:30ish instead of 1. And then I rolled over and hung out with the guys over by Town Hall for a while, and we shot the breeze, took some pictures. It was a good day. You guys should have grabbed Sloane and come on down. There was lots of activity going on. I'm sure she would have found something that interested her.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but we got involved with some projects at the house. I put the storm windows on, and she gave me a hand with that, holding the ladder, and then it morphed into cleaning out the gutters, that kind of thing. Picked all the tomatoes that were left and ripped out the garden. Productive day.
Off tomorrow?
Tomorrow I'll be southbound. So I'm going in and leaving from there.
You off tomorrow, Rich? You know, health services, we don't shut down for any holidays.
I know that. I believe so. I believe tomorrow is a union holiday.
Brian's working tomorrow night. I think he's getting time and a half because it's holiday pay.
That's cool, as long as he's got no plans. I think tomorrow will be the day to blow out the sprinklers and all that nonsense. I might actually run the lawnmower around to trim the grass that last time and pick up whatever leaves I can, and then hang out, maybe go for a motorcycle ride up and down the beach because it's supposed to be beautiful.
It's supposed to get a little chilly at the end of the week.
Speaking about the two-wheeler, did you use that yesterday or did you take a four-wheeler?
Two-wheeler. Two-wheel, Jessica. As a matter of fact, instead of relying on any of the guys from Gizbark inconveniencing them, I brought my own generator. I had my little Honda E1000, and it was sitting on the passenger seat of the bike. And when I got to my my post, I deployed it, started it up, and was able to keep the music cranked all day long. So, getting little inspirational stuff for everybody as they were facing that last rise, that last hill in the 10K.
I watched the report on News 12. I didn't see that little cabbage man this time. Is he losing his oomph?
Oh, it's possible he's letting other people take the limelight, you know? He can't always be in front of the camera.
Really? He always seems to be in front of that camera. I know that, you know, they have to pan down, but can he stand on a couple of crates?
Set the tripod up that high, it's kind of hard to tilt the camera down.
Like they had a nice crowd, so. I was looking for your, I thought they might pan over to see the bike, but it looked like they were by the train trestle on 231.
The train trestle is just east of Town Hall on Sunrise. And, see, I was actually sitting almost in front of WDBB's, studios over there on 109. I was just south of Sunrise, and I was sitting on the center median. I know we had a couple of helicopters fly over before the race started. Suffolk flew their two brand new helicopters over. Did a flyby, and some other nonsense, you know. And, we had somebody in the sky, probably with the news book people, but I didn't know whether or not they went over the whole course or they shot everything, but on the center median, I had flags deployed. You saw the pictures, didn't you see the pictures? I had some flags deployed to, show my support.
Yeah, right. Well, they highlighted a lot of the trikes, you know, and they were talking to the guys who were riding those. So they were extremely happy, which is always a good thing. A lot of smiling.
Well, those guys were, you know, like mascots. They were all parked up on Sunrise in front of Town Hall. Whether or not they are... let the procession off for the 5K, because I never saw it on the tank. American flag. Not still on foot. At 4 miles an hour. Yeah.
I was switching between frequencies. Which flag did you drive home with on the back of the bike?
My 3x5 US.
Yeah, that will do a little flapping in that. saddlebags?
I have a flat toe holder that I bolted to the frame of the vehicle.
Okay, that'll do it. We gotta slow down here right before the ramp, by the way.
Damn, schmamp, that never stopped me.
So this morning during a meeting, I will get my official Ebola training. And in a day or so, my son has to spend an entire day learning how to put on a hazmat suit and take it off. They're going to do an entire day of that.
First of all, he does not put it on entirely himself. He needs assistance, and he does not take it off himself at all. There are people that do that. It's part of the hazmat protocol. Since I have all that training, I understand what's involved in all this nonsense. For the decomping and all the other nonsense and the doffing and donning of the suit.
It all depends upon which level suit you're talking about.
The level suit you do not take off yourself.
Well, New York State has made it a requirement that he get trained. Hopefully he'll never need it.
No, listen, I hope he never needs it also. But, see, when they finally show you the right things of people over in West Africa doing their thing, you'll see that they have the helpers with the duct tape and everything else to put everything on. You can't do that yourself. You can, you know, duct tape up your zippers, and you can try to do your sleeves, but everything else you gotta have somebody else do.
When you get all finished taping everything up, do you put a stamp on it and mail yourself out?
I don't know about putting a stamp on it and mailing yourself, but we'll tell you that it's not exactly the best thing in the world if you realize 3/4 of the way of getting your suit on that you forgot to use the restroom.
When I was out camping a few weeks ago, one of the guys was talking about the hazmat suit that he gets trained in. He's got the full-blown hazmat suit training with the big helmet and the Scott pack on inside the suit, turnout on also, and it's just, it takes 15, 20 minutes just to get in and then 15, 20 minutes to get out of it. And if you're running out of air in your Scott pack, you're in trouble.
Boy, and to pick in mobile. That's why in a full-blown hazmat situation where you're going in a Class A suit, there's time limits on how long you can be in because of things like how long it takes you to get out of the suit, how long you can work in the sun, and you're that you are in a, for lack of a better word, plastic bag, and you will become overheated very quickly, you will become fatigued very quickly, and your physical limitations are major when you're all like that. So there's lots and lots of stuff that's involved when you're getting into full-blown hazmat.
He was describing how during the training sessions that he goes through, they purposely put him on the ground and say, okay, now get up, without ripping the suit. Because you can't roll on your side or on your back. You got to basically do a push-up, get yourself up to your knees, and somehow slowly get up.
When we did our hazmat training, we used shaving cream. Once everybody suited up, we used
leaky pipes and plug them somehow. Well, they had at the end of the pipe a valve shutting off the water that would simulate the contaminant leak. So he just walked in and said, "Oh, a valve, I'll shut that off." And when he came out, and he came out of the gown, out of the suit, someone came over and said, smacked him on the head and said, "You're not allowed to touch that valve. That's there just for our purposes. Now go in and do it again."
But what's the funny thing is, in the real world, if that's what it takes to shut off the contaminant, you do it. So he was right for assessing the situation in the hot zone and doing what was necessary to stop the leak. So he's right. I understand they wanted him to get used to being able to work with the suit on, and like I said, you'll turn around and work for what would normally you'd be able to do for an hour, 5 minutes, 10 minutes into doing that same job, suit, you're exhausted.
He described how they put towels on the top of their head so that when the inside of the visor from the main hood fogs up, they just lean forward inside the suit and wiped it from the inside so they could see. And he also described how it was picking up little nuts to be able to do some work. You can't actually use your fingers. You have to take two hands to pick up one nut.
And any tools you take into the hot zone, they're done for. They stay in the hot zone. We had guys that were doing stuff with PCB ballasts. I used to yell and scream all the time because PCB is, you know, it's one of those evil things. And the guys were using their pliers to, like, you know, cut the wires, take the little screws off, the nuts off to hold the ballast into the fixtures and stuff like that. And I go, but you realize that your pliers are contaminated now and they shouldn't be coming out of the area that you're working in. What are you talking about? There's nothing on my pliers. Okay.
Is there a way to, well, I assume, depending on what the contaminant is there a way to decon those pliers?
There are chemical solvents that they can soak them in and whatnot, but you know what? To turn around and certify them as clean, it's cheaper to just turn around and destroy them and give the guy a clean pliers.
Know something? I'm glad I don't have to deal with any of that.
Thankfully, I haven't had to, but I'm trained. I keep up my training. I keep up all my certifications, and God forbid I need to be called in for service for something, I can, you know, I can do what I can, and I can help supervise. I can jump in there, whatever needs to be done, but I would be called in an electrical situation, not like leaky pipes or stuff like that. Like if they needed the power shut off so that other guys could go in and fix the leaky pipe, they would have different teams. You know, they'd have the electricians, they'd have the plumbers, they'd have whoever is trained to go in there and do whatever's, you know, required to complete the job.
Oh, by the way, I chose to take the Gaga today because I saw some blinking lights up ahead on the main road. Hopefully I made the right choice. I'll let you know in a little while.
N2PP, and I'm just at the footbridge before the Gaga. Where are you, Stevie? You're being very quiet.
A motorbike is in the park. Just listening in.
Thankfully, you don't have to go through, like, the severe training protocols and stuff like that.
I was snickering earlier, but we already did all this, so we're strictly in the isolation end of it. We're not geared up to treat.
Yeah, understood, but God forbid some out of the ambulance and bring them into isolation, those are the guys that got to get suited up. Those are the guys that won't be happy. You're only on the engineering standpoint to make sure that, you know, the area putting them in is completely and totally separated and isolated from the rest of the facility, so nothing can get through the ventilation, the water, the waste, or anything else to mess with anybody else.
Like I said, we did this already about, you know, 4 weeks ago. So, yes. Yes, yes, and yes. On the hunt.
Is your isolation ward under negative pressure?
Yes.
How much negative pressure do they keep it at? Like, half an inch negative, an inch negative, and where are they taking that exhaust and processing it through? And are they sending it through any biological filters to keep it from dumping into the outside world?
Yes, it goes to a separate fan unit that has special filters on it. I don't know the inch-wise, I know CFM-wise, and it depends on the size of the room. So, this particular room, I think we're at 1,600 CFM on the negative.
Cool. Because it definitely makes it a little bit easier for sealing off entrances, exits, and doors, stuff like that, because then you don't have to get into all sorts of interlocks and environmental seals. As long as you keep the room under negative pressure, nothing comes out of it. It's going out through the exhaust system. That's pretty cool.
Ooh, I got a spot. Cool. There's lots of spots open, which will only mean one thing. A lot of people off today.
Gary, you at the tunnel yet?
I'm up on the main line now. There was no real advantage to the Gaga.
I'm coming into my noisy zone.
Goes into his noisy zone, so everyone quiets down.
I'm sorry, I was picking my nose.
Don't pick your friend's nose.
Hey, Steve, I can believe that.
You can believe what?
That you're picking your nose?
Leave me alone, you.
You brought it up.
Show it's 38 degrees here. I didn't know it was supposed to be this cold this morning.
Funny, I'm down by Van Damme Street and I'm showing 48 degrees. 10 degree differential. One of our cars has got a bag thermometer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know why. Here ain't. Like I said, I understand the end of the week is supposed to get chilly willy, so I did what I had to do, and I'll hopefully all set for all that. Anyway, I'll leave you two to carry on amongst yourselves. Talk about decons and duct tape. Wrap to y'all later. Yay, B2NQN, Mobile Channel.
7-3, Steve. I'm on the downslide to the tunnel, so it's time for me to say 7-3 also, and 2ZEB.
Fine, leave me on. And 2PPN Mobile, clear.
1CD.
Set tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
Wednesday.
I guess Phil's going to pop in there in a minute. W2, SCT Mobile, how's your weekend, Pat?
W2, SCT, good morning, Peter. The weekend was, went a bit too fast, as they usually do. But really doing chores, you know, raking a lot of leaves at this time of year.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah, a lot of leaves, a lot of work going on, and, yeah, I pulled up a few more flowers from the side garden, so that was it for the side garden, because I pulled up the tomato plants a couple of weeks ago, and then, I just have the flower pots, which are going to probably get sapped Thursday. Cold air coming in. It's still holding up well, but some of the zinnias have actually died, so I figure I'll just let everything get sapped on Thursday, and then Saturday I'll just empty everything in the flower pots, and that will be it. But yeah, the week is a little faster than we'd like to sometimes. A little bit of frost in the car this morning, too. Had to scrape just a little bit off. So I imagine it got close to pretty low there last night. Back to you, Pat.
E2CWZ.